You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone, thank you for joining us. Welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill, looking ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition of the podcast. Got afternoon cards at Epsom and Ripon. Into the evening with jumping at Newton Abbott, there's flat action at Carlisle, plus a card from across the Irish Sea at Ballinrobe. Sam Norris in the presenter's chair on this edition, and his lordship John Budden is joining me in the studio today. John, how are you?
I'm very well indeed, Sam, particularly after Saturday.
Good stuff, yes. Nikita finally came good for you, John.
Indeed.
Yes, very good nap indeed. And I suspect you'd have been apoplectic had you missed him, John.
I would have been completely apoplectic, yes. In fact, I probably wouldn't have been here if I had missed Nikita.
It was a good day all round for Ian Jardine. He managed to rattle off a double at Cartmel as well as having the big winner of the day on the flat. Yeah,
yes, he did. And Hibou ran quite well in Ireland in the Irish Cambridge, drawn on the wrong side, didn't quite get into it until too late.
Yes, absolutely. Let's start the podcast then with the Monday jury, as we always do on Tuesday's edition. And as you might expect, it's mainly the fallout from this week at York, starting with the first question. What sort of a chance would you give Cracksman against Enable in the Arc? He's a horse that's been coming along gradually, John, placed in a couple of derbies now and won the Great Voltigeur in fine style, but tackling Enable in the Arc is going to be a different kettle of fish.
It probably is, Sam, yes. And Enable gets all the sort of allowances, yes, and so on, and it looks as though Enable ought to win. I suppose there is just a question that, you know, Enable might have had one race too much, too many, or the Arc, shall we say, would be the possibility of one race too many. In which case, Cracksman would have an excellent chance. And I have been a Cracksman supporter right from the start. I thought he ran extremely well in both the derbies. In fact, unlucky in my view not to win the Irish Derby, and he looked as though he'd really enjoyed the break and won the Great Voltigeur, you know, like an excellent horse that I've always thought he was. I think he'll go very well in the Arc, and it's just that question that if Enable comes to Chantilly as well as she has done in all her previous races, she's clearly going to be very, very hard to beat.
Even money for Enable. Ulysses is 8-1, 10-1 for Cracksman and Sotono Diamond. 10-1 also about Winter and 12s and bigger the rest for the Arc coming up, of course, on the 1st of October. The next question then, again, surrounding one of the star performers on the Knavesmire this week. If Ulysses runs before the Breeders' Cup, where would you like to see him? Obviously, Sir Michael Stout said they'll be working back now from the Breeders' Cup. Would you expect that there'll be a spin in between, John?
Well, if I was Sir Michael, or if I had the horse, and of course he knows a great deal better than me and also has many better horses than I could even think of buying, if I was Sir Michael, I would try not to have my hand forced and go to America fresh. I think Ulysses is an excellent horse when he's just had a little bit of a break. If he has to run, and Sir Michael will be the judge of that, then I would imagine that he's likely to go to Champions Day, to the Champion Stakes.
Okay. Do any two-year-olds who have run this week have realistic classic potential? Obviously, the likes of Threading and Sansa of Marley will be high up people's list, John.
Yes, I wasn't that impressed with the two-year-old quality. I thought Sansa of Marley won well. If I was going to suggest one of the two-year-olds to have a classic chance, then I think it would be Threading. It interests me a little bit that Mark Johnston hadn't, in fact, got the horse entered at York, but he decided that there was every chance of winning the Lowther Stakes, and persuaded owners, I don't expect they had to be persuaded much, to supplement Threading for the York race. An impressive win, and I think Threading is obviously a filly of considerable ability. Knowing Mark Johnston, she is likely to run before the end of the season,
yes,
and then perhaps we'll know more.
Away from York as well, John, we saw a fairly impressive two-year-old yesterday in Ireland in the shape of Saxon Warrior, who won first time out for Aidan O'Brien, who doesn't have all that many winning debutants, and he quickened up like a potentially smart horse.
He looked as though he got five or six gears,
yes,
while everyone else had only two or three.
Indeed.
A Saxon Warrior, the commentator hadn't really seen or mentioned him.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him, because Saxon Warrior was, you know, tucked away, seemingly going to field happily in midfield, finish happily in midfield, and then suddenly switched to the outside, whoosh! Away he went. And Saxon Warrior probably is the most impressive two-year-old that we've seen over the past week.
And the improvement that Aidan O'Briens tend to make from first to second run, John, suggests that when they do win on debut, they're likely to be pretty decent.
Absolutely right. They tend always to improve with the run. So, yeah, I would agree. I think Saxon Warrior will probably be the most impressive two-year-old we've seen recently.
Our next question up then, give us a horse or two to take out of the handicaps this week.
We've got, I wouldn't mention Nakita, of course.
Yes.
But I thought Yukon Glen was the one horse to take out of the handicaps. I know Jim Goldie thinks a lot of this horse, and I couldn't believe it. It was in the Melrose, wasn't it, I think, of the handicap. And he was right at the back of the field. And I thought, well, Yukon Glen's not going to take any part in the finish of this contest. And then suddenly, not quite with a whoosh like Saxon Warrior, but my goodness, he was staying on strongly in the closing stages and finished third. And this is a horse who, you know, really does stay 2 miles. Very interesting to see if he has an entry, for example, in the Sir Zadowich, a race that Jim Goldie would very much like to win.
Absolutely. Penultimate question then, any tweaks you would make to the running order of the races at York?
No, none whatsoever. I think it's absolutely excellent. In 4 days, and, you know, sometimes when we get a four-day festival, you've got a weekday.
Yes.
Well, York don't have a weekday. They spread their big races out over the 4 days, and I think it's absolutely excellent. And I also feel that owners and trainers are of the same opinion, and the prize money, it was tremendously good at the Knave's Mile last week.
Yes, absolutely. Hear, hear. And the final question then, what were the riding and training performances of the week for you, John?
Well, two of them, really. Of course, one of them has to be Nakita,
yes,
because I think that Ian Jardine had, you know, targeted the horse at this race for some time. Good record at York, Nakita. You will see that he hasn't run very often at the Knave's Mile, but when he has, he's tended to run really well. But it was a big field. He wasn't drawn particularly well. He was faced with a number of other more fancied horses. And I thought Callum Rodriguez rode a really tremendous race. And he is a young that has been very highly thought of over the past sort of 3 months or so. A number of experienced observers have said this young man Rodriguez, it needs to be watched. He's a very decent claimer. Well, on the evidence of Nakita's handling, that is very much the case. And the other, I thought Marsha was excellent,
yeah,
at York, and I thought Luke Morris gave her a tremendous ride. Matt Chapman was a bit rude about Luke Morris's style when he made the presentation. Still, he was tongue-in-cheek. And so Mark wasn't there, which was quite interesting. He was buying horses in Ireland. But I always thought Marsha had a chance in that contest. And, well, Luke Morris made every possible chance ability of that chance.
Absolutely. And that's the Monday jury then for this week. We'll look ahead to some of Tuesday's races then. Four races from four different venues picked out by John for Tuesday. And we start at Epsom with the 310. This is a handicap over 6 furlongs. Just shy of 10 grand to the winner, and 7 runners taking their chance in this particular race, John. And I suppose the focus betting-wise may well be on Coronation Day at the top for James Tate and Martin Harley.
Yes, I think it will. Incidentally, perhaps the ground is firming up because there aren't all that many runners at a number of our flat meetings. However, here in the street end, Coronation Day, very interesting horse, trained, of course, by James Tate and has carried the Len Lungo colours in all previous races. And, of course, Len Lungo is father-in-law to James Tate. And I heard about, certainly now at the beginning of last season, the Coronation Day was the horse to watch, and that the Lungo colours would definitely be carried to the fore. Well, it took a little while for Coronation Day to actually confirm that judgment, but did win very well at Catterick, if I think you remember, last season. The trouble with Coronation Day has been that he's immensely keen and goes, you know, out of hits the lid, as Paddy Aspel would say, and tries to make every yard the running. Interestingly enough, when he won last time at Brighton, he was given a more patient ride. He settled better, and he came in the closing stages and won very well. I think Martin Harley will do the same here at Epsom, and I would expect Coronation Day definitely to go close to winning this race, and I think he probably will have to be my selection. We have got one or two other horses, though, in it, haven't we, Sam? And John Quinn is in pretty good shape, and he's got reputation, who's coming down to Epsom. Didn't run all that badly in the Silver Trophy, the compensation race for the Great St. Wilfrid, but I think he's got to improve a bit. Huntsman's Close was, reasonably close third at Yarmouth, but the interesting horse is the Handy Talk, trained by Rod Millman. Now, this is a horse that gave us all a little bit of our money first time out, and it won well at Windsor, but alas, there have been various issues with Handy Talk, and unsuccessful since. And Oisin Murphy has ridden Handy Talk in both the last two races, and rides again here at Epsom. And I don't think they've given up on this hope in the horse in the Millman camp. And it wouldn't surprise me to see Handy Talk go quite well. But I'm going to go for Coronation Day.
Coronation Day, then. The top weights in that Epsom handicap coming up at 3:10. On to Ripon, then, for their 4:30. Another handicap coming up here over a mile and a furlong this time. Again, seven runners taking their chance in this race. And the form intertwines somewhat with some of these runners, John.
Yeah, absolutely right. And today, which is Monday, Brilliant Vanguard is running at Ripon for Kevin Ryan. Now, were Brilliant Vanguard to win at Ripon on Monday afternoon at the bank holiday meeting at Ripon, then, of course, the chances of a couple of horses in this race would definitely be put up a grade. Mm. In particular, the top one, I Like Sands Chorus, has got an awful lot of weight to carry, 10 stone 1. Had James given at Ripon is a trainer who quite often produces successful ventures and raiders in handicaps. Luke Morris takes the ride too, and Sands Chorus, you know, appreciates the ups and downs a bit of Ripon. Was second to Brilliant Vanguard last time out, and in fourth place behind that winner, we had one of our horses running today, and that is Mulligatawny. I don't fancy all that much, but I do think Sands, of course, has got a chance. Ran in the Galway Festival last time out, which was quite interesting. The Fly in the ointment is the one at the bottom. There is little question about that. Mark Johnston's Alexander M. This horse ran only 3 days ago at Chester and made virtually all and won an apprentice race in pretty good style. Didn't, of course, get a penalty for that. The in-form P.J. MacDonald is riding here for Mark Johnston, and Alexander M. might well try to slip the field. He receives quite a lot of weight from Sands Chorus, and the question is, you know, has the race come a bit too quickly? Was the Chester race very much a shoe-in? I'm beginning to think it might be. I'm going to go with Sands Chorus.
Sands Chorus, then, for John in the 4:30 race at Ripon. Off to Newton Abbott, then, for their 6:05, which is a novice's chase over 2.5 miles. Just the three runners lined up, but An intriguing enough affair, because we have Alcala in here, John, who bids for a five-timer, and three of his last four victories have come here at Newton Abbott, and it's generally been a horse that's been well-placed by Paul Nicholls.
Very well-placed, and if we looked at the five-day declarations for this race, you will see that Paul Nicholls had something like three or four runners in the contest, but he's obviously decided that this is another excellent opportunity for Alcala, who has been a real jumping brilliance during the first part of the season. He's won his races with some absolutely magnificent demonstration of jumping ability, and I think he'll do it again. It's always good to have horses who can run up a sequence like this. I hope Alcala will do that. Exaro is obviously going to be the one he's got to beat. Exaro comes from the Tizard stable and was second to Worcester last time out, and I suppose it's interesting that the Tizards have decided to take on Alcala. Certainly this is a valuable race, so they're going to receive enough reasonable sum of money for their efforts if Exaro manages to finish second. But I hope Alcala will win.
Now, Alcala then in that Newton Abbott 6.05. And off to Carlisle then for the 7.15. This is a handicap over six furlongs. Got a field of 12 lined up for this one. And we'd rather expect you to find the winners at Carlisle, John, given that it's your local stamping ground.
Yes, Bruni will be there too. Yeah, and, you know, provided I find the key to the house, I will hopefully be at Carlisle as well. I like this race of 7.15. The interesting thing is Major Crispies, who's the top weight, tries seven furlongs here. Last time out, relatively recently too, was the Ponte. And I thought Major Crispies might go well in the contest. And in fact, he did. He ran an extremely good race and finished third at Ponte, staying on strongly in the closing stages. That race was over six. I think that the seven will suit. But he has got top weight. But the stable are in excellent form, David O'Mara and, of course, Danny Tudhope in the saddle. We then have a Pennypot Lane, another runner from Pontefract last time out. Richard Whittaker's horses do tend to run rather well at Carlisle. And Pennypot Lane, I think, finishing strongly when second at Ponte, will again, like Major Crispies, benefit from the seven furlongs. The question mark horse is well named Lady in Question for Richard Fahey and hopefully Tony Hamilton, who had a bit of a spill at Carlisle last week and missed some rides at the weekend. But I think he'll be back again in good shape here. And Lady in Question was really quite a sound performer over seven furlongs when second at Thirsk last time out. I think it's between these three, and I'm going to remain loyal to the top one, Major Crispies.
Major Crispies then for John in that 7.15 race at Carlisle coming up on Tuesday night. Thank you very much for that, John. Quick recap, if you would, please, before selections on Tuesday.
Well, the first one comes at Epsom in the 3.10, the last three. I'm going for Coronation Day for James Tate. Then we nip up the A1 to Ripon for the 4.30. I think it's top and bottom here. Alexander M at the bottom, and the top, the one I've gone for, Sans Chorus. Interesting, only three runner novice chase at Newton Abbott at 6.05. Alcala, I hope, will make a five-timer. And then at Carlisle, we can finish off with a nice four-timer with Major Crispies in the 7.15.
Brilliant stuff. The thoughts of John Budden on Tuesday's racing. And you can hear it all live on Racing Radio. We hope you can join us for all of that. Thank you, John, and we'll speak again soon.
Thank you very much, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.